And turn with us to a very familiar passage of scripture. Definitely this time of year, a very familiar passage of scripture. But I pray that as we open up the word of God, that he would give you insight and application and maybe things you haven't seen before. The word of God is so awesome that the more we read it, the more we learn. It doesn't change. It stays the same. But we change as the Holy Spirit works on us. We change. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we're going to primarily focus on one verse this morning. Verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The prophet Isaiah, of course, the Holy Spirit led him to write this hundreds of years before it happened, hundreds of years before Christ was born. But listen to what Isaiah, the prophet, wrote in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Once again, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. Jesus, God's gift to us. Jesus, God's gift to us. Jesus, God's gift to us. You may be seated. Jesus, God's gift to us. His great gift, his awesome gift, his amazing gift. Jesus, God's gift to us. Dear God, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Take your word, dear God, implant it into each one of our hearts and minds. And lead us by your Holy Spirit that we might indeed be changed, be corrected, and be encouraged by the preached word of God. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Jesus, God's gift to us. The last few days, one of Ariana's friends from her school, she's an exchange student from Japan, and she's been here staying with us. Actually from China. She's been here staying with us for a few days, and it's been interesting kind of engaging her and talking to her and asking a little bit about, you know, her culture, and you know, Christianity is not as big there as here, and we've just had a good time talking about different things about Christmas. And so we know here in America, we know that Christmas, or wherever Christmas is, about the birth of Christ. And there are a lot of things that we do around Christmas time, though, that really don't have anything to do with Christ. And some of them are not so good, and some of them are not so bad. But there are a lot of other things we do around Christmas time. One of the things that we do here in America, we traditionally and routinely exchange gifts. That's just one of the things that we do. I mean, the Christmas production this morning, the little youth were asking people, "What do you remember about your first Christmas?" And one of the things I remember about my first Christmas was getting a train set. That's what I remember. One of the first things I remember about Christmas was getting a train set. So we exchange gifts. You know, and even now we exchange gifts. I mean, you get something for your husband or wife or your significant other or your boo or whatever you want to call them, or young people, make sure you get your parents something. Get your parents something for Christmas. Now, don't just, you know, it's not just about you. But, you know, we get our kids stuff, and when they're real little, we get them toys. And as they get older, we, you know, may buy them some other things. And the thing I'm finding out about parenting, all three of my daughters are 18, 22, and 31. Now, what I'm figuring out, the older they get, the more expensive the toys get. Different types of toys. But we routinely give and receive gifts. Give gifts to friends and co-workers sometimes. Church members exchange gifts. This morning we were exchanging gifts some. So that's just something that we do. But I want to make sure I stress this morning that the greatest gift that's ever been given is when God our Father gave you and me Jesus, God his Son. That's the greatest gift. Jesus, God's gift to us. Now the definition, the simple definition of gift, Webster says gift is something freely given. That's a gift. That's something that's freely given. It's not paid for by the recipient. So God freely gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't pay for it. Now what we can do as Christians, we try to, in a sense, pay him back with our adoration and service, but we didn't pay for it. We were freely given the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only that, listen, when God freely gave us his gift, Jesus Christ, as Jesus came, Jesus himself said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. So Jesus came, and watch this, he gives us the free gift of salvation. He offers us the free gift of salvation. So God gives us the free gift of his son, Jesus, and then Jesus comes, Sister Bray, and offers us the free gift of salvation. So what I want to encourage you to do this morning, if you haven't unwrapped, you know, Tuesday may not be anything under the tree that you want or like or whatever, but if you haven't unwrapped Jesus Christ, you're missing out on the best gift anyway. If you haven't unwrapped the free gift of salvation, no gift can compare to Jesus Christ and the free gift of salvation. So even as we head toward 2019, make sure, as you head into 2019, make sure you're walking in newness of life. Make sure you have a relationship with God, the gift giver. And make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who offers us the free gift of salvation. So God gives us his son, Jesus Christ. This great king is coming, Brother Jim. And so it wouldn't be right for a king to come and to not be announced. So this great king is coming, but it has been announced really since the beginning of human history that this king was going to come. You'd have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned, when man messed up, when they disobeyed God, and they sinned. God himself, in Genesis chapter 3, God himself, to paraphrase, God himself said, I'm going to send you my son, Jesus. I'm going to send you a savior. You all have messed up, but I'm going to send Jesus Christ, and he's going to straighten everything back out. So even God himself began to proclaim that he's going to send a savior. And then there it is in human history, in biblical history. We see throughout the lips of many of the apostles, many of the prophets, if you will, they would say, Jesus is coming. The prophet Isaiah 7:14, listen to this, what he says, Isaiah 7:14, the very prophet that we listened to this morning. He says in Isaiah 7:14, you can write this down and read it later. Isaiah 7:14, this was written about 700 years before it happened. He said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Well, what's the sign, dear Lord? What's the sign? Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. I knew I was going to have to help us out a little bit right there. Many of us who have been in church most of our lives, sometimes when we hear some of these what we call basic, fundamental, doctrinal truths, it's almost like it just goes right over our head, or we don't halfway hear it or think about it. Hold on. A virgin shall be with child. Now that's a sign. A virgin to be with child. That doesn't happen routinely. Y'all know that. That doesn't happen at all. So the prophet said, here's the sign. There's going to be a virgin. She's never had sex, but she's going to be pregnant. She's going to be with child because the Holy Spirit has come upon her. So that's a great sign. You can't miss that. She's going to be with child. She's going to bear a son. And she will call his name Emmanuel. Then as we even look fast forward to the New Testament, during the pregnancy of Mary who carried Jesus, in Matthew 1:23, the angel speaking to Joseph in a dream, because Joseph, they weren't married yet, and Joseph said, Mary is pregnant, so the Bible said he was going to put her away privately because he thought she had been unfaithful to him. But this angel appears to Joseph in a dream. God speaks to us when we need to hear. He speaks. We oftentimes don't listen, Brother Thomas, but he speaks. He speaks through his word all the time. Sometimes he speaks through other people, through circumstance, through situation, but he speaks. I said, our God speaks. We don't serve some silent, mute God. He speaks. And so he had an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream. Listen to what the angel said. It seemed like the angel must have been reading his Bible. He must have been reading Isaiah 7:14, because the angel said pretty much the same thing. He said, Joseph, behold, the virgin, this one you're about to marry, she shall be with child, and she will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us. Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. So in Matthew 1:21, the angel said this also in that same dream talking to Joseph. He said, Joseph, Mary, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I got to quote that again. He said, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I need to say that one more time. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Let me unpack that just a little bit. Y'all should know that, but he has saved us from what we call the three P's. I call it the three P's. If you're born again, if you're in Christ, guess what? He saved you from the penalty of sin. You or I, if you're in Christ, you don't have to, we don't have to go to hell. I don't have to spend eternity in a lake of fire. That's reason enough to shout and run up and down this place and tear this place all apart, throw some chairs out the window because I don't have to go to hell, even though I deserve to go to hell. Jesus has come and saved me from my sins. I'm not going to hell. Yeah, you can go there if you want to. I ain't going to hell. You'll be by you. I won't be with you. Not only that, he saved us. Listen, we kind of forget this and I miss this as a Christian. He saved us from the power of sin. If you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, if the power of Christ is inside of you, beloved, you nor I, we don't have to sin. So I'm just weak. I'm free. Now we often do sin, but we don't have to sin. We're under new management. We're under new ownership. We're not enslaved by the devil or by the flesh anymore because Christ has come and he saved us from the power of sin. It's some stuff I used to do. It's some stuff that I used to do. And look here, I had to do it. I don't know about y'all, but it's stuff I used to do that's not so pleasing to God, sinful stuff that I just had to do it. But once I got saved, once Christ came into my life, once I got born again, guess what? Much of that stuff I don't do anymore. I just got to say this. I'm just going to say it. I don't say it boastfully. I don't say it arrogantly. I say it very shamefully. But I remember when I thought I had to have me get my little drink on and smoke a little marijuana. I thought I had to do that. I thought I had to do that. And if you never mess with that stuff, great. Don't even start. Don't ever mess with that stuff. But I don't know what your stuff is in that blank, but you got something in that stuff that you used to do and you had to do it and you couldn't stop doing it. But Jesus came into your life and he broke off some chains and he freed you up and you no longer got to lie all the time. You no longer got to gossip all the time. You no longer got to cuss all the time. You don't have to do that stuff anymore. Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. I think I shared this last one. I was talking to a guy just about 8 days ago at the community kitchen, and he was saying he had been enslaved by crack cocaine. And he said, man, I've been free for about a month. I said, well, praise God. Keep sticking with you. He can keep you free for another month, and another. It's some stuff. It don't have to be a substance abuse, but it's some stuff you cannot overcome on your own. It's some stuff you can't make it on your. You need the Lord on your side. You need Jesus in your life. To give you some hope, to give you some peace, to give you some joy. Need Jesus. So Jesus, I've come to save people from their sins, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. And watch this. As a Christian, one day I'm going to be forever away from the presence of sin. Ah, that's a great thought right there. I won't have no more sinful thoughts. Won't be around any more crazy, sinful all the time acting folks. Just away from the presence of sin. Just that thought itself seems almost unimaginable. But that's a promise, and it's going to happen one day. So the angel said, Joseph, you know, yeah, Mary is pregnant. But don't worry about that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not a man. She hasn't known a man. And this man, Jesus, he's going to come and save his people from their sins. So we've been saved on three levels. We saved from the penalty of sin. We saved from the power of sin. And one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Somebody ought to say amen. That's a good. I think I got more response when I was preaching this to the chairs on Friday evening in here. I mean, that's a good place to say amen. It's a good place to say amen. Jesus, God's gift. God's gift to us. Prophet Isaiah, listen to what he says about Jesus. We'll unpack this pretty quickly. He says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he said, for unto us, let me just pause right there, unto us, who is the us? Well, the us is you and me. The us is a group that we call the saved folks, the redeemed of God, those of us who are born again. That's the us. For until us, until me, until you, if you surrendered your life to Christ, until us, a child is born. Until us, a son is given. If you're taking notes, jot this down. In that very first part of that verse 6, it says, for until to us, a child is born. That speaks to the humanity of Jesus Christ. A child is born. Speaks to the fact that he is 100%, watch this, 100% man. But then also it says a son is given. God the Son. That speaks to the deity of Christ. In other words, here it is. It's simple. This is Christology 101, the doctrine of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this person who split time? We got before Christ and after his death. Who is Jesus? Listen, he's all God. Yet all man. He's all God, yet all man. I don't understand it. I don't understand how he can pull that off. I don't know how he does it, but I know that he is all God, yet all man. And his deity wrapped up in humanity. He is God in the flesh. His humanity, when he walked planet Earth, he didn't cease to be God. He was still God. But yet, while he walked planet Earth, like you and me, he would get tired. Like you and me, he would get hungry. You know, God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get hungry. Well, that was the humanity of Christ. We probably in the Christian circle probably don't talk enough about the humanity of Christ, because non-Christians want to just make him out to just be a man. So I understand that. But look, biblically, he's all God, yet all man. Only Jesus could pull that off. Nobody else can do that. Only our Lord and Savior. See, it's the uniqueness of Christ. Christ is a unique, he is unique. Nobody else like Jesus Christ. I said, nobody else like Jesus Christ. He's all God, yet all man. For until us a child is born, until us a son is given. And then it says, the government shall rest or be upon his shoulder. The government will be upon his shoulder. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But if you're taking notes, write down Jesus is all God, yet all man. But also write down Jesus is ruler. He is ruler. We're going to get some titles, if you will, to Christ right out of this one verse. He is ruler. And we're going to come back to that one and kind of expound on it and on that part about the government resting upon his shoulder. So he's all God. He's all man. He's ruler. Then also, the Bible says, for also he is wonderful. Now, theologians kind of differ a little bit on this. Some people say wonderful counselor, meaning wonderful is an adjective describing counselor, what kind of counselor he is. He's a wonderful counselor. But then other theologians say, well, they're really two separate. You know, it's wonderful. And then some Bibles have comma, that wonderful is a noun. That's a descriptive word in and of itself. So I'm not going to argue one way or another. But I do kind of lean more toward the fact that he is wonderful. And he's also a counselor, but he is wonderful. Matter of fact, the original Hebrew word here, really there's no English word to really describe what the prophet Isaiah was trying to write down. In other words, our little English language is not expansive enough to explain our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the closest thing they can get to is that, oh, he is wonderful. He is wonderful. I say he is wonderful. Isaiah, if he didn't put that there, I would still agree and still know that Jesus, Sister Sam, he is wonderful, Sister Cousin. He is wonderful. Matter of fact, he's indescribable. How is that? Words are inadequate. My little lips, your lips, the English language, the French language, the Spanish language, the Chinese language, the African dialect. There's no language really that's massive enough to truly explain our God, truly explain our Jesus. So we just say he's wonderful. How is that? Is all right? We just say he's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's out of this world. So he's God. He's man. He's ruler. He's wonderful. Not only that, he's counselor, Brother Travis. He's counselor. Counselor. When you need advice, ask the counselor. Ask Jesus when you need advice. The Bible says in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of Jesus. So if you need some advice, just go to the counselor. Now, if you need somebody to tell your problems to, just take it to the counselor. Matter of fact, Jesus said, bring all your cares to me because I care for you. Take it to the counselor. Take it to Jesus, God's gift to us. And Brother Michael, Sister Talia, you know, as a pastor, I do some premarital counseling. I really enjoy that. Most recently, I had a chance to do some premarital counseling with Kayla and her, I'm drawing a blank, Tyler. Thank you. Thank you. When you're preaching, the teachers and preachers, your mind is all over the place. I just drew a blank. But Tyler and Kayla, just a burst family, just a wonderful couple, and had a chance to do some premarital counseling with a couple of sister Tarya's son, Ben and Keisha. And so really, it's a great thing. I like doing that. And also, I do other little counseling here and there a little bit. I'm not a professional counselor. And so some of you may go, I've actually referred people as I'm talking to people. I'm like, man, that's above my pay grade. You may have to look to a professional Christian counselor to help you with that. You got all types of counselors. You have grief counselors in our school system. Sister Mimi Kelly, she does counseling in our schools. So there's all kind of counselors. And a lot of them are really good. We need counselors. I said, we need counselors. But the best counselor. I said, the best counselor. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the best counselor. He's the best counselor. Because when I do counseling, I had to set a little schedule. Well, you can come by the church at 5 o'clock, I'll be there, you know. But Jesus, you don't have to schedule with it like that. He's open 24 hours a day. I said, he's open 24 hours a day. He's never too busy. His phone line is never busy. He'll never put you on hold, tell you to wait and hold. I hate that when you call somebody, can you hold on? Are we going to put you on hold and put you on this line and play some little crazy music in the background? No, I want to talk to somebody right now. But no, Jesus, he won't put you on hold. He won't put you on hold like that. Check this out. Also, if Jesus is your counselor, you don't have to worry about have I met my deductible or not. Or what's my copay? No, none of that. If Jesus is your counselor, he's open all the time. If you surrendered your life to him, you can just call out to him at any time. And guess what? He's available. He's available. And if you haven't given your life to him, guess what? Today is the day of salvation. Even right now, the Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Today is the day of salvation. So he's open 24 hours. For the saved and for the unsaved, as it relates to salvation anyway. He's open all the time. He is counselor. He's an awesome counselor, Sister Candace. He's an awesome counselor. So he's all man. He's all God. He's ruler. He's wonderful. He's counselor. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, God's gift to us. Then also in Isaiah verse 6, just in case we missed it, he lets us know again. Let me repeat this. You know how we forget stuff or miss stuff sometimes. So some more we skip over stuff. He puts this right there in your Bible. He said, also, he is not only wonderful. He's not only counselor. He's mighty God. I said, he's mighty God. He's mighty God. In case we missed it, you know, he just said he a son is given meaning. He's God. But just in case we miss it, he is mighty God. He is mighty, mighty God. He is God. So don't let some Jehovah Witness, don't let some Muslim or some Mormon or Buddhist or whomever else ever get you confused or ever have you confused about the fact that Jesus is God. Definitely don't want to bring this old crazy argument about, well, he never said he was God. No, you just don't understand when you read the Bible. Why do you think they put him on the cross? They say he claimed to be equal with God. Jesus would say stuff to his disciples, stuff like this. One time Philip was talking to him and Jesus was talking about, you know, y'all seen the Father. And Philip said, wait a minute, Lord, Jesus, we've never seen God. And Jesus said, Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now that sounds like calling himself God to me. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then one time the religious leaders, they were questioning him about who he was. And he was trying to tell them, and they just kept questioning. He said, they kept talking about Abraham. And, you know, Moses is great. And Abraham, Jesus, wait a minute. Before Abraham was, I am. Before, he said, wait a minute. Abraham lived a couple thousand years ago. What? You just born 30 years ago. You Joseph's son. What do you mean? Now, Jesus, before Abraham was, I am. Speaking to his deity, speaking to the fact that he's always existed. He has no beginning and he has no ending. Matter of fact, he's not only just I am. He said, I am the life and the resurrection. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the true vine. He said, in other words, you just fill in the blank. Whatever you need me to be, I'm that. If you're hungry, I am bread. If you're thirsty, I am water. If you're in darkness, I am light. If you're dead, I am life. Whatever you need, I am just that. So I am. Jesus often said, me and the Father, we're one. One of my pastor friends over the weekend, I saw he tweeted something that was pretty cool. He was saying that scientists say that there are four things, is what scientists said, you know, some of them, you know, some of them are Christian, some of them are not, but scientists, scientifically speaking, they say there's four things, Sister Joyce, you gotta have food, just naturally speaking, you gotta have food, gotta have water, gotta have air, and gotta have light. That's what these scientists have come up with. I thought it was pretty interesting. The four things that we eat naturally, so to speak, food, water, light, and air, Jesus got all that available for us. Spiritually, and I mean, we need food. He is the bread of life. You need light. He is the light of the world. You need air. He can breathe air into your life. Whatever you need, Jesus has it. Whatever you need, Jesus. Jesus, God's gift to us. So if somebody asks you maybe today or tomorrow, what's Christmas about? Hey, God gave me the greatest gift. Mother Lawson, the greatest gift I could ever receive. He gave me Jesus. He gave me Jesus, God's gift to us. Now, John, who often writes about the deity of Christ, he lets us know, you know, each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I want to encourage you as we head into 2019 to get on a regular, if you're not on one, get on one. If you are on one, maybe even take it to another level, if you will, for us reading consistently through the Word of God. Each gospel writer, Christ is the center, but they kind of have a different focus. So in John, we see Jesus, he highlights the deity of Christ. I mean, he highlights the fact that Jesus is God. I mean, he didn't even give any human lineage or anything like Matthew and Luke do. I mean, John just goes straight to the fact that, hey, look, in the beginning, this is where John starts out his gospel. In the beginning, Brother Keith, and in the beginning was a word, meaning Christ. In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it's not like John is saying Jesus was there from the very beginning, right? Somebody might have missed that. So in verse 14, John said, let me write it again as the Holy Spirit gives me direction. He said, wait a minute, y'all might have missed that in verse 1. Here it is. In verse 14, John chapter 1, John said, the Word, meaning Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here it is, John said, here it is. Y'all talking about Jesus and not God. We've seen him. He's walking around with us, and we've hugged him. We've hung out with him. He is indeed God in the flesh. John says, no doubt that Jesus is God. So he's a mighty God. He's not halfway God, half God. No, he's all God, yet all man. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And listen, saints, every day, I mean, one day, every knee is going to have to bow. Every knee is going to have to bow. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11 says this. So really, here it is. In a nutshell, either people are going to bow now or bow later. I encourage me to bow now while it still has salvific value. Bow now while it still is time. Bow now while there's still life and breath in your life. Because some people that's going to be bowing, going to be bowing from the flames of hell. But they still gonna have to say, Jesus is Lord. You were right, God. Jesus, you were right. You were Lord and Savior. John, Philippians brother said it this way. For this reason also, God highly exalted him, exalted Christ, and gave him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, y'all hear me this morning? At the name of Jesus, every knee is gonna have to bow. Everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So people going to bow either now or later, but everybody going to have to bow to Jesus. I'm glad I'm on the right side. I'm glad I'm on the right team. I'm glad I'm not following somebody else, but following Jesus. So Jesus, he's all man, yet all God. He's ruler. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's mighty God. And not only that, he's also everlasting Father. Y'all writing these down? Everlasting Father. He's all God. He's all man. He's ruler. He's wonderful. He's counselor. Mighty God. But also everlasting Father. Listen to this. Although Jesus is God the Son, although he's God the Son, he's not God the Father. Well, how can he be an everlasting father? Well, he does things that only a good father would do. I mean, he does things like he provides. Somebody ought to say amen. He protects. We got here safely. Don't think it was just happenstance. Don't think it was just luck. Don't think it was just your good driving. You and I got here safely because God himself, Jesus himself, protected us. Jesus himself guided us. He guided us. He watches over you. He watches over me. He leads us. He guides us. He orders our steps. He comforts us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Those are great fathering traits. Those are things that great father. Those are great father qualities. All of us that are dads that have, you know, children, we want to do those things, even though we mess up sometimes. We fall incomplete. But Jesus does those things perfectly. He does those things perfectly, just like a great dad would do. So he's our everlasting father. Now, my earthly father and I, we, by God's grace, we had a good relationship and all that. And, you know, but at the age of 68, as I've shared with you all before, in August of 2003, he died of a sudden heart attack. So he was gone. He left planet Earth. But, oh, it's good to know. I said, it's good to know. It's reassuring to know that I still have an everlasting father. I still have someone who can be my father. See, Jesus, he doesn't have an expiration date. He doesn't run out. He would never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you always. He will be with you always, even to the ends of the age. Matter of fact, Jesus is the original of our eternal things. He has no beginning. And he has no ending. He's Alpha and he's also Omega. So Jesus, not only again is all man, all God, he's ruler, he's wonderful, he's counselor, he's mighty God, he's everlasting Father, but he's also Prince of Peace. I say he's Prince of Peace. I just like to say that. I just like to sign that. He's Prince of Peace. I'm almost in my seat now, but he's Prince of Peace. In these tough, trying times, these tough economical times, these times and all kind of crazy stuff is going on, all kind of shootings and this, that, and other, you know, layoffs and plant closing. A couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if it was GM or Ford, one of them shut several plants down up in Michigan. All those types of things going on. And listen, and this crazy stuff happening in the White House. Yeah, I said it. This crazy stuff happening in the White House. Not just in the White House. Just politics overall. I mean, a government shutdown. I know it happens from time to time, but I was reading just yesterday. Anywhere from about 400,000 to about 800,000 people are going to be adversely affected by that. I mean, not all those people, Brother Steve, not all those people, all of them are not necessarily quite probably as financially secure as they should be. Some of them are living from paycheck to paycheck. And here it is, boom, we're going to shut the government down. All this type of crazy, uncertain stuff. All this stuff going on in and around us. All kind of crazy stuff going on in life. I mean, life is really, in a way, not to get people out, but I kind of see, in a sense, people who don't know Jesus, why they'll go out and do all this other crazy stuff, like, you know, just this crazy stuff, try to cope with stuff that's going on. But you and I, because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as a people of God, because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can rest in the fact that he is indeed the Prince of Peace. He not just gives us peace, he is our peace. And there's a difference. He don't just give us peace, but he is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. As a matter of fact, I love Matthew 6. When the people are getting a little stressed out and all that, getting a little worried and all that. You know what Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 6? He said, do not worry about tomorrow. That's what Jesus said. Read it something like Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be stressed. He said, you see these birds? Your father takes care of the birds in the air, so he's definitely going to take care of you. He takes care of the lily of the field, so definitely he's going to take care of you. I know we probably thought the theologist came from that song, you know, that I love Mahalia Jackson was singing, My Eyes on a Sparrow. She got that right from the Bible. That came from the Bible. That came from Jesus. Jesus said, my father's eyes are on the sparrow, so we know he's going to watch over you. Jesus said, just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. all these things. Let me make sure I preach real clear right here. When I say all these things, you have to take it in context. You go back and read a few verses before that, and Jesus was referring to those necessities of life. Your food, your clothing, your shelter, those things. I'm going to take care of all that. Now, he's not saying, this is not a name it and claim it, nab it and grab it, call it and haul it. He's not saying that you can go out and say, I want that Lamborghini right there. He said all things, right? Give me that million-dollar mansion up there. Now, God can do that if he chooses to, but he's promised to take care of all of our needs. My need is not a Lamborghini. If they still made them, my need might be a Yugo. Y'all remember Yugo? Y'all remember Yugos? Free people say, I remember. They didn't stay around too long, but my need might be a Yugo. It won't be a Lamborghini. But he provides for all of our needs. Think about that, saints. There should not, listen, this is the Bible. There should not be a Christian anywhere who has any tangible need not being met. Let me say that again a little more clearly. There should not be a Christian anywhere having a tangible need not being met. Now, you got other Christians, they may need a little financial counseling or something, but all of us as people of God, we have the promise of God. So I'm going to give you everything that you need. Then we need to pray and be wise in your discernment, but sometimes a person's need might be right in your pocket. Well, y'all don't like to hear preaching like that, do you? But no, that's somebody. But as the people of God, we should never have needs. Now, once again, needs. Now, I'm not saying wants and desires. He gives us those sometimes too, but I'm talking about needs. As the people of God, that should bring you some comfort. That should bring you some peace. By God's grace, for most of my life, I haven't worried about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. As a follower of Christ, we shouldn't have to worry about those things. Pray about it, say, God, I know you're going to provide. He provides in different ways. He provides in different ways. But he is a provider. That's my point. He is Jehovah Jireh. Jesus said, I'm going to meet all of your needs. I am the Prince of Peace. Paul said it this way. He picked it up over in Philippians. He said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I don't even realize why I got all this peace, but I remember, it's because I'm in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah says. Then back to this government real quickly. In verse 6, it says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Let me just read verse 7. That's a whole other sermon. Let me just read it, though. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government, of Isaiah 9, and the increase of his government, talking about Jesus, there will be peace and there will be no end. Y'all see that? There will be no end. Talking about Isaiah 9, 7. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, Jesus is ruler, and this speaks to a futuristic time that one day Christ is in, he's ruling now. He's in control. He's in charge now. But one day he will set up a millennial kingdom. And even after that, we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. And one day, he's going to rule forevermore without a shadow of a doubt. He's going to rule and reign forevermore. The text just said that his kingdom will have no end. It's not going to run out. You know, historically, every major country that has come into power, be it the Babylonians, be it the Persians, Russia, be it the United States, throughout history, if I have any historians in the house, typically a country will come in power, be strong for maybe 200-300 years, and then kind of fall off the wayside. I'm not speaking prophetically, but it seems like the United States, we've kind of plateaued out. we about to start going down that way. But I thank God for this country. I thank God for America. Thank God I live here. But don't put your faith in the United States. Don't put your faith in America. It's going to go down one day. It's going to crash one day. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. But this throne, this crown, this kingdom is going to last forever. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. Jesus' kingdom is going to last forever. So Jesus is, as I finished, Jesus is indeed, he's all man. He's all God. He's also ruler. He's also wonderful. He's also counselor. I'm talking about Jesus, God's gift to us. Listen to this great gift. Again, he's all God. He's all man. He's ruler. He's counselor. He's wonderful. He's mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. But that's not all. That's not all. He got a few more names. I'm going to give you just a few more names and then we're going to be through. He is an advocate, Jesus is, with the Father. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the Ancient of Days. That's what Daniel called him. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the righteous branch. He's the bread of life. He's our bridegroom. He's the anointed one. He's the chief cornerstone. He's a day spring from on high. He's our deliverer. He's the desire of all nations. I'm talking about Jesus, God's gift to us. He's the door of the sheep. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's faithful and true. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's a sure foundation. He's a sure foundation. Not only that, listen, saints, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, somebody missed that. Is this thing still on? He's a friend of publicans and sinners. I'm glad he's my friend. He's the only wise God, our Savior. He's head of the body, the church. Yes, he is head of the body. He's the CEO, the CFO, the COO, and whatever else you want to put in there. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all principalities and power. He's the heir of all things. He's a great high priest. He's the Holy One of God. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's the righteous judge. I say he's the righteous judge. He's the King of Kings. Here it is right here. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King of the Saints. He's the King of the Jews. He's King of the Gentiles. He's King of everybody. He's the Lamb of God. Matter of fact, behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. He's our life. He's our light. He's the light of the world. He's the lily of the valley. He's our bright and morning star. He's Lord. Listen, he's Lord both for the living and the dead. I'm talking about Jesus, God's gift to us. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's a man of sorrows. This is all in the Bible. He's a good master. He's a great master. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our arbitrator between a holy and righteous God. He's the Messiah. He's the Prince. Matter of fact, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Most Holy One. He's an offering and a sacrifice to God. He's our Passover. He's our Passover. He's our great physician. If you've been sick, you ought to know him as a great physician. He's our provider. If you've ever been broke and down and out, you ought to know that he's your provider. He's also the propitiation for our sins. He died on Calvary's cross. He took the wrath of God that you and I should have taken. He's a propitiation for our sins. He's the resurrection and the life. He's a spiritual rock. He's the root of David. He's the root of Jesse. He's our salvation. He's our deliverer. He's our victory. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our everything. He is God's great gift to us. He's Savior of the world. He's God's servant. He's a righteous servant. He's a shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. He's a chief shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Matter of fact, he's a son of Abraham. He's a son of David. He's a son of God. He's a son of man. He's a son of Joseph. He's the only begotten son full of grace and truth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's great gift to us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything you need just in the right time when you need it. And when you're hungry, guess what? He can give you food to eat. If you're thirsty, guess what? He can give you water to drink. If you're in a tough place, guess what? He's your bridge over troubled water. I'm just saying, whatever your need is this morning, whatever your need is this morning, that Jesus, God's great gift, God's only begotten son, can meet you at that point of need. He is a need provider. He is a need provider. He's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. Am I preaching to myself this morning? He will give you whatever you need just when you... Sometimes he needs to spank that behind. Guess what? He spanks that behind. Whatever you need, Jesus can meet that need. Whatever you need. Sometimes you need a confident word. He can give you a confident word. Whatever you need. See, Jesus is not just some figment of our imaginations. I know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, but Jesus is real. He is real. I said, he is real. We don't have to come up with some extra stuff or some make that stuff. No, he is real. Just share with people from the Bible and share with people what he's done in your life. Jesus is real. He's Jesus. He's Jesus, Brother Tim. God's gift to us. So again, back to my gift analogy. Usually when you give someone a gift, you typically got some, you know, feelings for that person. You might respect them, admire them, you might love them or something. You know, you don't just give them anything. Well, guess what? God loves you and me so much. Here it is. It's kind of a simple foundational basic man. He loved us so much. He gave us his best. Gave us Jesus. So if you ever wondered, does God really love me? Well, he gave you Jesus. And you might say, Jesus really loved me. Well, he came, died on that cross, laid in a borrowed tomb. I know this is the birth time of Jesus. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but without just the birth, he came to die. He was born to die, died on the cross for your sins and my sin, was buried, but rose again with all power in his hand. That's the gospel message right there. That's God's great love. I said, that's God's great love. That's God's great love. Don't ever doubt. We can all go through those little cycles if we're not careful, but don't ever doubt. Does God really love me? Does he really care about me? Does he really care about what I'm going through, this situation or that situation? Once again, he sent you his best. Sent me his best. Sent us Jesus. Sent us his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. So that shouldn't be a major question. We might be saying, well, Lord, why am I going through? What's going on? What are you trying to show me? Maybe that's more the question. What are you trying to show me? Now, I don't know if you really care. Yeah, he cares. He cares. Father, we thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you, dear God, for your great gift to us, Jesus.